The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
Go down these paths and different things. But I preached and I asked the people, I said, do you have this on you? Is there anointing on you to preach the word? Amen? Can everybody hear me all right? You awake this morning? Amen? I'm making sure my mic's working. Amen? Because is it on you to preach the gospel? Do you carry the gospel in your heart to reach the lost, those that may be blind, those that may need a word of encouragement, those that may need something? There's something that has to be birthed in us that then grows, that then is released to this nasty world. Amen? And I asked this question to the people. I said, do you carry the anointing like Jesus to say, I've come, the Spirit of the Lord is on me to set the captives free, that the blind may see? Here recently, how many messages have you heard about blindness? Amen? I don't know why, but we're in this vein of this helping those recover their sight of this blindness, of this spiritual blindness. And any one of us, from the lost man to the greatest man of God ever, Billy Graham, can go down paths at any given time and find themselves drifting one way or another. Amen? How many of you read the fire word this morning? Amen. Not wavering, holding on to our confession of faith. Amen? When the times are tough, it's time to hang on. When the times are good, it's time to hang on. I stand before you today troubled. Troubled in a good way. Troubled in a way that I didn't sleep well last night. I was up most of the night, off and on last night. And I was thinking about eternity. I was thinking about where I'll spend eternity. I was thinking about where you'll spend eternity. I was thinking about the choices that I make. I was thinking about the choices you make. I was thinking about the path that you're on. And I was thinking about the path I'm on. And today's message, if you were to put a title to it, it's called The Narrowing Path. And the Bible talks about the narrow path. But I want to talk to you about the narrowing path. You see, one time recently, about a year ago, I talked to a young man who was trying to grow in the Lord, and I was trying to lead him in the way he should go. And I gave him a word with much prayer, and I said, listen, I said, the Lord is setting things in your path. He's putting up dividers on the left side, and he's putting dividers on the right side. But there's exits along the way that you have free will to go any direction you want. But the Lord's going to help you. And he's going to guide you, and he's going to mold you, and he's going to shape you. But you're going to have to make a choice which way you go. And he's like, I'm on it. I'm on fire. I'm believing in faith. I'm on it. I'm believing. I'm preaching. I'm on it. I'm in my word. And it wasn't 2 weeks later, and he was drifting, finding himself being distracted, absorbing different doctrines, having all these different things come into his mind and getting all jumbled up. And before you know it, he left the church. And I thought, I don't want that for anybody. I don't. You don't want that for anybody. You want to help teach them, right? There's something that should be in us that wants to guide people. But how many of you know that you can't help everybody? Some people you just can't bless. Some people you just can't help. And sometimes you got to give them over to the Lord and say, okay, Lord, have your way. Let me tell you, the life of a preacher, pastor, helps, whatever you want to call it, sometimes can be pretty bumpy, to where you don't get much sleep at night because you're concerned about the sheep. You're concerned about the people, but let me tell you, I'm also concerned about some pastors and some shepherds out there right now. Because it is easy to get on a tangent right now. It's easy to get distracted if you're not careful. So I'd like for you to go into your word today as we get in the word of God. And I want to encourage you in the word of God. Because if I face some things that challenge me, I'm wondering if there's some things that challenge you today. Amen? So go with me in the book of Romans. We were there a week or two ago. And in Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Are you there? You have to open up your Bibles this morning. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. It says, "For whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved." I am praying and believing that there are some men and women would start seeking the Lord in 2022 and getting their eyes on Jesus and calling out to that name above every name. That name above sickness, that name above illness, that name above hurts, that name above addictions. Are you here? And verse 14 says, "How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher?" How should they hear? Oh, blessed ones. How shall your loved ones, how shall those listen to me on the broadcast, how shall they hear? How shall your neighbors, your friends, your people be saved, be set free, their spiritual blindness gone in Jesus' name, unless you go and preach this great gospel of good tidings? Amen? Amen? Don't grow weary in doing good, the Bible says, right? But let me tell you, as one that preaches this word, let me tell you, there's a lot of people that just don't listen. They just won't listen. You try to bless them, and they just won't listen. And you know what? As a man of God, I'm telling you, in last year alone was one of my most challenging years for trying to help people. And look what it says. It says, "And how shall they preach unless they're sent? And it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace." I asked you a few weeks ago, I said, how's your feet look? What do you think of your feet? Do you think you have ugly feet or you have pretty feet? Because the Bible says, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel of peace, who bring glad tidings of good things. Don't think of yourself as lowly, not able to reach people, even when they don't listen, because you have beautiful feet. You have this gospel in your hand, trying to set the captives free that they may see, they may be healed, they may be delivered. But the Bible says, "But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed our report? So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, indeed. Their sound has gone out to all of the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I say, did Israel not know?" This is in verse 19. First Moses said, "I will provoke you to jealousy by those who are not a nation. I will move you to anger by a foolish nation." But look what Isaiah says. He says, "But Isaiah is very bold and says, I was found by those who did not seek me. I was made manifest to those who did not ask for me. But to Israel," he says, "all day long I've stretched out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people." That, my friends, might be where we're at in 2022. We might just be surrounded by a group of people that will not hear. or that they do not simply see yet what God is trying to do in their lives? Is it possible that we are ministering, speaking to people with spiritual blindness today? I tell you, the best I know how, we are in those days of spiritual blindness. The evil one has blinded the eyes to where they do not see. They do not recognize when God's moving here and when God is placing people here and when God is putting people here. Amen. We are living in these days where you and I are going to have to be in this word. We're going to have to watch from going on these exits and allowing poo in the brownies. Hello? If you allow, I told that story a couple weeks ago because we must watch for anything that gets in there and goes in these weird doctrines, these weird things. It will mess us up if we don't stay true to the very word of God. Amen? And you and I are going to deal with people constantly that must find themselves flat on their back before they turn to God. I wish it wasn't so. I wish it wasn't so. But we have ministered to people so many times, preaching the gospel, helping those, but yet they still come against us, don't they? That's tough for a preacher. That's tough for a man or woman of God. When you have tried your best to help them, yet they do not receive. Isn't it amazing that some would not see the very help right next to them? You know, when Peter went in the water, Jesus lifted him up. Isn't it amazing how you and I stand with our hands out all day long to help them, yet they slap the hand of Jesus? If we're the hands and feet of Jesus, right? You and I are the light, the salt and the light. We hold that anointing, that power. We are the hands and feet of Jesus, and yet they slap the very hand that's come to help them. God forgive them, for they know not what they do. It's a time where the days are evil, but we must preach this word, and we must encourage one another as ones with beautiful feet. I can't give up on ministering this word. I'm called. The anointing is on me to preach this word wherever I'm at, wherever you're at. Do you believe that today? Amen. That's more amens than I got the first time I ministered that. Because you have to believe in yourself. When they don't receive, you still have to believe that you carry something they need. Whether they receive you or they don't, there's still something in you that's greater than that of the world and the world's systems and the world's eyes and the world's beliefs. There's still something that you have to offer, men and women of God. There's something that you have to offer to those if they would receive. We're not cookie cutters. Each of you have gifts and callings. God didn't just take a batch of cookies and make this form go boom, 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 boom. Each one of you have gifts and callings to bless and help one another. I'm totally confident of that. That God places the members, remember? God places the members as He sees fit. So if God places the members, that means you have a purpose to help and bless. That, in other words, you have a calling that you have something to bless and help someone else that is ordained by God. Come on, somebody. Right? There's something that has been birthed in you that whether people receive it or not is of God. Amen. I'm just going to proclaim it. I don't care what anybody says. They can shut me off and send me emails. Otherwise, why are you here? Once you got saved, whew, up you go. You're done. Well done, good and faithful servant. Right? That would be easy, wouldn't it? Hallelujah, I believe in you, Jesus. Up we go. Oh, no. I'm going to save you, and now you're going to do some work for me. Oh, yes, let's talk about Paul. Let's go there for a second, because we've been talking about spiritual blindness. You see, this is why we don't have things on the wall today. That's why you haven't seen me put stuff on PowerPoint the last couple weeks. You must flow in the Holy Ghost. I'm not going to have a scripture to read to everybody. Apostle Paul, anointing of God, killed people, hurt people in the church, blasphemed, but yet he was anointed to do something great. But what did he have to do? He had to get his eyes opened. I was just praying about that just the other day when he says that. That's why it resonates with me. That's why it resonates when I tell you the narrowing gate. That's confirmation. Saul goes to Apostle Paul. He gets a new name change, doesn't he? Oh, he got a new name change, but he had to get knocked off his donkey on his donkey and have the scales come off and had a revelation moment where the Lord says, it's hard for you to kick against the goads, ain't it? It's hard for you to kick against me, isn't it? Go ahead, keep kicking against me and see how long you handle this. Go ahead. It's easy to kick against the devil, right? Try kicking against God's way. Oh, it got real quiet, didn't it? Try kicking against God and let's see. Oh, you're in his hands, all right. Let's see how far you get kicking against God, because he was going to humble you and set you off on your donkey until you get your mind right and your heart right. And then he's going to say, now, are you going to pay attention to me?
Yeah. Amen.
Right? And I say, yes, sir. I'll follow you. You see, that resonates with some of us because some of us were some hard cases, weren't we?
Amen.
Right. Okay. So you know I'm preaching the truth, aren't I? I'm not preaching at you. I'm trying to preach in a manner that says, listen, there are those of us that had many years of having our eyes opened, and it may take some time. But God's still knocking. Remember what I've been talking about? He's got your number, and he's going to get you to the point where you say, yes, sir. Yes, Lord. That may take 1 month. It may take 1 year. It may take 1 hour. Right? We want to be careful with that prayer. Do whatever it takes, Lord, because some people are going to find out. Right? We talked about last time about the blind man and about how Jesus put clay on his eyes, right? And he was obedient and his eyes were opened, right? We didn't get there from some of our free sessions, but of the additional verses of three different times when Jesus asked, what do you want me to do for you? Did you tell him yet? And if you didn't, why not? You have not because you asked not. You see, there's such a stubbornness in the land going, well, I can do this on my own. No, you can't. You need the Lord. Right? Why are so many people not obedient to the Word of God? Why do they find themselves in these predicaments? And then they become super spiritual religious. You know anybody like this? They're good, they're great, everything's going, and then something goes wrong, and then boom, now I'm in my Bible every time, I'm super religious, I'm like uber. Come on, get consistent.
Yeah, amen.
Come on. Right? Don't worry, I'm preaching to myself too. Because you see, I'm concerned. I was up most of the night. I could preach half the day if any of you would want to sit that long. I could preach half the day to you and minister to you because in this day and age, we're living in times where we're running out of time. And if I'm going to call myself sent, and you're going to call yourself sent, then you got to be prepared with the gospel, right? And sometimes we got to address hard topics. Sometimes pastors got to be pastors. Sometimes pastors have to do a little shepherding. I told my wife, I said, I'm a strong man. Sometimes you got to shepherd a little bit in the home. Sometimes you got to take the staff and say, okay, listen, I'm going to do a little shepherding. We're going to have a little eye-opening experience here. Right? So go with me into Matthew chapter 7. Because we've talked about this in 2020 and 2021. And here's the narrowing gate. the narrow way in Matthew chapter 7, verse 13. It says, enter by the narrow gate. Are you there? Amen. Enter by the narrow gate. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many, many, many who go by it. Are you here? The narrow gate. But wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leads to destruction. In other words, at first, this thing's wide open just so that we can make it in. Because before I got saved, there's no way I would have made it in. I had to follow Jesus and allow. Then you see the path that narrows. I told Pastor many weeks ago, I sent him a picture that I had in my mind that the Lord gave me. Some of you may realize there's this game long time ago, probably back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, I'm not sure exactly when, where it had this little ball, and you had these two metal pieces, and you had to take the ball, and you had to hold the pieces with the rods just right to where the ball fit, and then you were judged by how far you went if you didn't make it far enough on the path. And this little ball, you had to hold it just right, because if you went too far out, the ball went through. If you went too narrow, the ball might go to the left or go to the right. Anybody know what I'm talking about? Mm-hmm. So in our spiritual walk, all of us are on the potter's wheel. The path's wide at first. And you can stay on the wide path, or you can discipline yourself to get on the narrow path. And the Lord will put pressure on you to get in the narrow path. Are you here? Mm-hmm. The narrowing path. Because narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life. It may not be easy for you on this narrow path. Hello? People love to say, well, when you give your heart to the Lord, it's all going to get better. Everything's going to be good. Let me tell you, you're going to come under attack after attack after attack. The very moment you take your first step in this church, by the time you hit the parking lot and go back home, you're going to be under attack from an enemy who's trying to keep you from going on the narrow way. I'm just going to preach that. That's just a pastor that's going to tell somebody the truth and not this, oh, it's going to be peaches and cream and everything's going to be good and now your life's all set. You came to church once and now you're going to have to never come back again. Uh-uh. You're going to have attack after attack in your home, in your business, in your finances until you say, devil, get out. Resist the devil and he will do what? Flee. So why are we letting him in the house? I'm just going to preach it. I'm just going to preach it. Because we have to be about the Father's business. You got to protect your doors. You got to protect your windows. You can't let anything in. And if somebody does come in, re-anoint the house.
That's right.
As Pastor would do. Right? Amen. Yeah. You're dealing with principalities and powers of the air. Hello? We don't fight against people. Why are we fighting against people? Why are we still fighting against people? I thought we were a spirit-filled church. Why are we still fighting against people? Right? We should be encouraging one another, lifting one another, helping one another, be open to one another, be helping one another, be able to talk to one another. We got to open up some eyes if we're going to get where God wants us to be in 2022. Are you here? The narrowing path. The narrowing path. Beware of false prophets who come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ravenous wolves. You will know them by their fruits. Do men gather grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Even so, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. You're not going to find any tomatoes on the apple trees out there. It doesn't work that way, right? A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, nor can a bad tree bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown in the fire. Therefore, by their fruits you will know them. Listen, we've talked about this, that there must be evidence of an inward change in your life. Verse 21 says, not everyone who says to me, see, this is what concerns me. This is why I was up part of the night. Right here. Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord. Now, how many people do you know say, Lord, Lord? Why do you call me Lord and not do the things I tell you to do? Right? You ever heard that verse before? Not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father in heaven. In other words, we have a problem that not everyone is going to enter in. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name? Now, wait a minute. Wait a minute. Cast out demons in your name and done many wonders in your name. Now what kind of person does that? Believers. Believers. Men of God. Women of God. Apostles, prophets, teachers. Evangelists. How is that possible? Verse 23, and then I will declare to them, this is in red, right? This is Jesus talking, right? This isn't Corey talking. This is the word of God. It says, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You mean to tell me that there not only are there lost people that aren't getting into heaven, there's also can be some that are professing to be Christians that won't get into heaven. Does that concern any of you? It kept me up part of the night last night. Because I'm sitting here going, what if it's me? What if my decisions and my choices lead me down a path? What if your decisions and your choices lead you down a path? I'm preaching better than I'm getting any amens. Because I don't know about you, but when we talk about that, we've heard everybody gets to heaven, everybody goes to a better place. What if there are people going into churches today, pastors and prophets and teachers and apostles, that they profess the Word of God, they know the Word of God, but on the inward, there's something wrong. They're like a ravenous wolf waiting to beat. It's possible, right? It's in your Word. It's written, right? So it concerns me that there are people that claim to be Christians. They go, I'm a Christian. They won't come to church, but I'm a Christian. They won't fellowship. They won't hear the pastor. They won't answer his phone calls. They won't text him back. And I'm honestly bothered in my spirit about they might not make it. And they're beautiful people. And no one's told them the truth. And a preacher has to be sent to tell you the truth. So that you know that there may be loved ones watching me right now that they have not repented and not turned and they've lived their old life. They think they were saved once, living outside the will of God, living in adulterous relationships, lying, stealing, perverting the Word of God. And then the Lord says, I never knew you. You used my Word, but you didn't use it properly. No relationship. We got all the do's right. And all the don'ts. All works. Praise God, you helped me preach today. Amen. All the things, but where is the heart change? Where is the evidence of this that got changed? Do I see fruit somewhere? Right? Sometimes having beautiful feet's tough. If you really love somebody enough, you tell them the truth. If you really love somebody enough, you try to help open up their eyes to the path that they're on, whether they receive you or not. You try your best, right? Because we don't want anyone to perish. We don't want, and Jesus didn't want anybody to perish, right? He came to seek and to save that which was lost. Can I get an amen? Right? He says, and then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. I don't want to be that guy either. It bothers me that my choices, my decisions could lead myself or lead other people astray. Right? You know, I know people that are in ministry right now that are leading people astray on the wrong path. It's kind of a heavy message, isn't it? This is kind of deep, isn't it? This is what happens when you're up for about 16 hours out of the 18 last night. Because something has to be birthed in me and birthed in you to where you remind yourself that, listen, you have a call on your life and you can't have anything that disrupts that. Anything that does, I've got to put it to the side. I've got to protect it wherever I'm at, wherever you're at. Right? So we've been talking about this spiritual blindness. And I wonder how many times you met people. And I'm going to share a very interesting Bible account with you that's very hard to grasp for some. Remember last time I talked about the blind man and how, don't know if anybody can receive it, how a man can be healed just by putting clay on their eyes and you go and wash and you come back and the guy's healed, right? So I told you my testimony to help those receive and understand that how God can work in different ways. A lot of people like to take God and just put him in a box and say, he's going to do this this way or heal this way or he's going to fix this this way. And let me tell you, God can do things any way he wants to. If you're open to it. Hello. Right? So I tried to teach and help those understand and see that go, listen, God can rebuild your family if you would let him. God would heal your marriage if you would let him. It may not be by traditional methods. It may take some time. It would have been great if I'd have got saved at 5 and lived a life like my son. That would have been great. But I lived the life of Saul. Knocked off my donkey. Okay? There may be some that you're ministering to that God's got their number. And this biblical account spins people out all the time. They really get spun out by the clay and the mud. Okay? They get spun out by Noah's Ark. Who could have ever done that and preached for 120 years and only a handful of people were saved? You know, God closed the door. Noah didn't close the door, right? All that. Like, how can that be? People get all spun out. But they get spun out about the virgin birth. They can't hardly believe that. Oh, I don't know if I believe that whole deal. Right? They can't hardly believe that someone could be an alcoholic and God could use them and end up being a minister today. They don't hardly believe it. They don't understand how God can take their situation and finances and bless them so much that they're debt-free. They just don't see how that can happen. They don't believe it. But we're growing in that because we're seeing more people with debt cancellation in the church. But we'll get everybody on board with it about proclaiming that when you're faithful with the little, he'll make you ruler over much. Hallelujah. Are you faithful with the little? You're not going to be ruler over much until you get an understanding of being faithful with the little. If you can't be faithful with a penny, how can he ever trust you with a dollar? How can he ever trust you with 100? How can he ever trust you with 1,000,000? Right? That's just Bible. That's just Bible. That's just helping people open up their eyes to see, hey, you want to see breakthrough in your finances. How many want to see breakthrough in their finances? Amen. Praise God. Those that you don't, that's fine. But for me, I want to see breakthrough in my finances because I know that God can heal. I know that God can fix. I know that God can mend. I know that God can bless my mess, even though people say that he doesn't. But let me tell you, he can bless it once I've gotten in line with him. So don't trip on my words. Because my life was a mess even after I got saved. Hello? I know that word kind of may have you twinge a little bit going, God doesn't bless our mess. And he's not going to bless it until you get right with him. But getting saved, once you get saved and you have a heart change, then he can work with your mess, and then you can be blessed. Does that make sense? So that way I don't get any hate emails or people yelling at me. Okay? Because my life was still a mess once I got saved.
Amen.
So it took some time for God to work things out. Amen? So we're way ahead of schedule. So let me give you this biblical account that some of you would be like, oh, okay, I see where he's going. How many of you know people that get tripped up when you start talking to them about talking donkeys? You know some talking donkeys. It's kind of like that, kind of like the Wizard of Oz. How can you talk if you don't have a brain? Right? Some people do an awful lot of talking. Some of you haven't watched The Wizard of Oz recently. But a talking donkey can sometimes get somebody on the right path. There's a donkey in the Bible that has the most beautiful feet that there ever were. And you have beautiful feet too. No matter what you do, no matter where you go, that when you are there to bless people around you and bless the man of God and bless the woman of God and get people to get their eyes on Jesus, you are going to have some things happen to you in your life. Amen?
Amen.
So go with me into Numbers chapter 22. This is probably a pretty popular Bible discussion in children's church, but I think it's prevalent today. Because in Numbers chapter 22, we see, and I'm not going to read through all of it for the sake of time. We're only going to pick a few verses. But we're talking about, there's a man by the name of Balak. He's the king of Moab. And he's with a guy, a prophet, Balaam. And the problem is this king wants him to curse the Israelites and save Moab. So in 22 verse 9, God warns Balaam not to accept this bribe, not to go down this path. And in 22:15 through 21, the offer is increased for Balaam to go down this road and curse when he could bless. How many of you know that you have the ability to curse and to bless too? There's power in the tongue. There's life and the death can be found in this tongue, that you can speak life or speak death. Did you know that? So Balaam is en route, and he's on this path. And you know, you don't have to be a prophet of God to go down the wrong path. You can be just regular old folk, working every day, got jobs. We can be tempted to go this way, tempted to do this, tempted to go here. We can find ourselves on paths of going, why are you, it's like the prodigal son. Why are you going down this path? Why are you doing this, prodigal son? And the father just waits and waits and waits on him to come to his senses, right? So here we find ourselves in Numbers chapter 22 in verse 20. And let's begin reading. Verse 20 said, and are you there? Did I give you enough time to get there? Numbers 22 and 20. So you can read for yourself 1 through 20. You can kind of get an idea and use your study Bibles. And we're going to read here because, and I'm going to do a little bit of teaching as I'm trying to minister, because it's a warning to Balaam. It's a warning to people. And as ministers of God and those that preach the gospel, we love people unconditionally, but how many of you know that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life? And no one comes to the Father except through Him. If that's not your foundational verse, let me tell you, you need to get a hold of that, because that points people in the right direction. And sometimes people love to go their own direction and follow these weird things and do their own thing. And this Balaam prophet has some issues. And God came to Balaam at night and said to him, "If the men come to call you, rise and go with them, but only the word which I speak to you, that you shall do." We want to be careful adding or taking away anything that the Bible says. Hello? When you start mixing your own things and your own agendas and your own ideas and ideologies and theologies about the Bible, you might just put stuff on yourself and on your family that you got to be careful. He says, "Which I speak to you that you shall do." So Balaam rose in the morning, saddled his donkey, and went with the princes of Moab. Verse 22, "Then God's anger was aroused because he went." Whose anger? I thought God was a God of love. I thought God was only a God of love. I thought he just was patient with everybody. He lets you get away with everything. Anything you want to do, God is okay with. Just grace and mercy. Grace and mercy. God's anger came into play in this situation. Now, it's one thing to have the world come against you. It's another thing to have the devil come against you. But when God's got your number, you are in for a treat. God's anger was aroused because he went. He went down this path. God's anger, because Balaam was going down this particular path, God's anger was aroused. How many of you know people when they go down a certain path that God's anger, oh, we try to sugarcoat it. Oh, it'll be okay. They'll come back to the Lord. They'll get their mind. No, God's anger is in your wheelhouse if they're not careful. And the angel of the Lord took his stand. Hello? In the way. Are you seeing the pieces for today's message? As an adversary against him. Now, I don't know about you, but it's one thing to come against the devil and tell him to go and flee. But if God himself has been angered and is standing in your path trying to get your attention, there might be some eyes that need opened. Because it's easy to blame the devil for everything. It's easy to say, well, it's their fault. You know, I shouldn't have to be taking all these tests. I just want to start my own business. I don't know why they're making me do all this. I got to go through this class and I got to do all these permits. It's the devil, it's the world, it's everybody else but me. Oh, no. God's got my number. He says, I'm going to put these people in your path so that you do it right. Come on. Come on. How many of you know people? You've been put in their path on a mission with some beautiful feet, and they ain't going to like you. But they know that they've been sent by God for a purpose to get right in your path, in their path, and maybe in your path, and says, "The Lord has sent me to keep you from going too far in one direction. You ain't going to like it, but I know what the Lord has shown me. I'm going to help you get your eyes open today." Come on. Come on, look at this. This is good stuff right here. "As an adversary against him, and he was riding on his donkey, and his two servants were with him. Now the donkey saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field." Maybe you know it. Any of you ever had a donkey? They kind of do their own thing. You got a donkey? No? I've been called a donkey. You ever been called a donkey because you get in somebody's way? They don't like it when you preach Jesus and you get in their way. They don't like it when you say, "Get out of the flesh and start walking in the Spirit," and you get in their way. Huh? Come on. Come on. Oh, this is good. I'm going to preach myself happy. I don't know if you guys are getting any of this, but this is good stuff right here. "And the donkey turned aside out of the way and went into the field. So Balaam struck the donkey to turn her back on the road. How many of you ever been beat up for trying to do a good thing? Now this is a prophet. This is Balaam the prophet beating up on a poor donkey. Poor thing. What'd the donkey do to him? He's just trying to help him. Right? Poor donkey. Then the angel of the Lord stood in a narrow path between the vineyards. The narrowing path. Are you seeing it yet? The angel of the Lord got right in the mess of Balaam in a narrow path between the vineyards where they grow fruit. Just saying. With a wall on this side and a wall on that side. And when the donkey, this is verse 25, and when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot against the wall. How many of you ever had a horse step on you?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. That don't feel done too good. You just want to beat that thing to pieces, don't you? Why'd you do that, horse? Why'd you do that, donkey? Trying to get your attention, Balaam. You keep going the same path. Strike one, strike two. You keep going. We're put people in your path, and you keep going down this path. And now the angel of the Lord is trying to get your attention. The problem is, has anybody noticed that Balaam hasn't seen the angel of the Lord yet? The prophet's not seeing what God's trying to do. The donkey gets it. Huh? The only one that's getting it is the donkey. And the poor thing is getting beat on. You ever been in that spot where you're the only one that seems to see what's going on, but you're the one that's getting beat on? You're like, what did I do to deserve this? I'm just trying to help you. The angel of the Lord is right in front of you. Don't you see him doing a work? She pushed herself against the wall and crushed Balaam's foot. Well, that probably didn't make Balaam too happy, did it? And what'd he do? He took it out on the donkey, the one that was trying to help him the most. He took his frustrations and his pride and his junk against the poor donkey when the donkey was trying to do a good thing. How many of you know people like this? You see, there's outward fruit, but there's still something wrong on the inside here with Mr. Balaam. He hears from the Lord. He knows the word of God. He's a prophet. But yet, there's something not right here. Why does he feel like he needs to keep beating the poor donkey? The PETA people are probably loving me right now. They're like, yeah, that's right. Why are you beating on the poor animal, right? Verse 26. Then the angel of the Lord went further. Oh, number three. Man, really trying to get Balaam's attention, isn't he? And stood in the narrow place. Are you seeing what I'm reading? You see why I was up all night? Where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or the left. I wonder how many people in 2022 are going to be in this position when the Lord's got their number and there's no way they can go to the left and no way they go to the right because We've tried to bless, we've tried to help, we preach the word of God, and God's got their number, and he's going to narrow that path and say, you're going to have to deal with me now, mister. You're going to have to deal with me, sister. Right? And God says, I got Balaam's number. I'm going to get his attention. Right? That's okay, because there's some families in 2022 that God's got their number. 22 families in 2022. Listen, you've tried, you've prayed, you believed, you've sowed seed, you've cried, but let me tell you, the moment that you give this problem over to God and he starts narrowing the path, you watch them come to him. That's okay. That's okay. Because what we have tried to do in a year, God can do in 1 minute. Don't kid yourself. God, We like to set things up and say, well, if this happens, God will do this, and we do this, people come, and if we have a chili dinner, people come. In one day, God sent 3,000 people. How would you like that? How would you like it when you start praying, God, you deal with these people, you narrow the path to where they have no other choice. They've looked this way, they've looked this way. Only thing they can do is look at the angel of the Lord and watch them turn and watch this place filled up, and they just start pulling. I was watching at the windows this morning. I was just waiting for people to come in. I'm like, okay, Lord, I'm going to keep waiting. You keep putting pressure on these people. You do the work, Lord, because you know what it's going to take to get people to put their eyes on you. Oh, we will wear ourselves out. Hello? Come on. Come on, those that preach the gospel. Sometimes you got to hand it over to the Lord and say, the Lord deal with them. I love you. I pray for you. But watch. I'm already seeing it. The Lord starts working on people and working on people, and you just be patient. You take a chapter after Pastor Burkhart's book, and you say, you just love on them. You don't have to argue with them. You can just love on them. That's what Pastor Burkhart would do. He says, you watch. You watch. The Lord will work on them enough, and then you be right there to help them. Right? Look at this. So the angel of the Lord went further and stood in a narrow place where there was no way to turn either to the right hand or to the left. And when the donkey saw the angel of the Lord, she lay down under Balaam. So Balaam's anger was aroused, and he struck the donkey with the staff. I thought the staff was supposed to be used for the anointing, not as a club. Hello? How many of you know people and pastors and ministers out there that want to beat the sheep? And they want to beat them down and beat them down. That's not what I'm called to do. I'm not called to beat people down. I'm called to lift you up. Here, the donkey was the only one getting it, and he bowed down because he knew what was coming. He's like, I'm done. I'm out. You're on your own, Balaam. And what's Balaam do? He's got a heart condition, so he just beats the donkey even harder, like it's his fault. Like it's her fault, the donkey or her. Right? We're not called to beat the sheep. We're not called to beat people down. We're called to lift people up. And it's amazing to me that this prophet is going down this road, because remember what I read before about the narrow path? That God not know us? Because there was a heart condition here when violence and anger was the answer. Hello? When lashing out and beating the donkey was the answer. That's not the answer, right? And look what happens in verse 28. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. Hello? Oh, people have trouble with this. They're like, there ain't no way I'm believing that that donkey was talking. Well, you haven't watched Shrek, I guess. I know, I'm funning. But it's in the Bible that the donkey, the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said, this is a female donkey. Sometimes the female's gotta help some people out a little bit. Huh? Come on. Come on, ladies. You better get tough sometimes, because sometimes you need to tell those men of yours to straighten up and fly right. Sister Abel used to say that. You better straighten up and fly right. Because if not, she'd take you right here by the hair. And if she was 100 pounds wet, she'd take your hair right here and she'd move you to any seat you wanted not to be at. She could do it. And there wasn't nobody going to argue with her. I don't care if you were 6'5", 300 pounds. That 89-pound woman would move you. Sometimes Sister Abel's got to come out and say, I'm going to help learn you. Right? Come on, ladies. Us men, we get stubborn. We get stubborn. We sit here and we're like, no, we got it all figured out. And there's got to be a smart one in the house that says, listen, we're gonna do it this way. You need to straighten up. Praise God for you women. Amen? That's right. You should amen. Because listen, We have been set in motion and given a helpmate. You have a helpmate for a reason. In other words, you can't do it on your own. I'm preaching better and I'm getting amens because the men are like, ouch, 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 ouch. Quit being a donkey. Listen to your wife. Your wife's trying to help you out. Don't chew out your wife when she's the one that's right there that sees what the Lord's doing and trying to help you. Come on. That's all right. I think that's just awesome because my wife is such a helpmate to me that keeps me anchored. And I have learned a long time ago that that beautiful woman has wisdom that is there for me to receive. And ladies, you need to understand that you have power and authority and have been placed with your man for a reason to get his eyes open sometimes. I may not get too many likes from the men, but hopefully you ladies are like, amen. Somebody needs to say that. Right? I don't know, I'm happy in my spirit because I think that's truth. Because where would we be without our helpmates? If we didn't need helpmates, then why would God given it to us? In other words, you were placed there for a reason to do something that that man needs his eyes opened. Don't worry, I preach it myself. If you're getting anything, because sometimes you got to think about these things, about who God has placed in your life to help you. Here the donkey was placed in Balaam's life to make a difference, and the man missed it. I've missed it. I know men that are by wonderful women, and they can't swallow their pride enough to receive from a mighty woman of God and say, listen, I'm here to bless you. I'm here to help you if you just listen to me. Right? Ladies, I hope you're getting something today because you have been placed for a purpose. You're not just somebody in your marriage. You have been placed there for a helpmate to edify and beautify the marriage and help us men so that we don't walk blindly on these paths. I amen that anyway. Because I don't know where I'd be without my wife. She keeps me grounded. She keeps me from making mistakes. She helps me walk through things. She helps me talk through things. You see, she's my confidant. Are you here? I don't have very many. Less than this hand. Just so you know, in my entire life, everybody I know, I have less than this many confidants in my life. Hello? It's important that we understand when God puts people on our path to help us. Then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, what have I done to you that you've struck me these three times? You ever felt like that when you're trying to bless people, get them to church, and you're trying to help them? Like, man, what did I do that had you so mad at me? Why do you attack me verbally, mentally, physically, three times? Why do you do this to me when I'm on your side? I'm trying to help you. I'm trying to bless you. Happened to anybody in 2021? And Balaam said to the donkey, because you've abused me. Aw. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. Are you kidding me? The donkey that helped them, and now they want to just throw out their ravenous beating the donkey mode? This is what you will deal with when you decide to sign up for being a preacher of wanting to share good tidings and help people because they are blind to what is going on. Prepare yourself for a few beatings. Hello? It's not fun. It's not fun to pour yourself into people and then they beat on you. It's not fun to sacrifice your time and give up week after week or give up through the week to help them through counseling sessions and then they come against you. It's not fun. If you want to sign up for this, you better be prayed up and ready to go because people will beat you down even when you're there trying to help them get through life and help them because God's trying to do something in their life. Not the devil. You see, this isn't the devil doing anything here. This whole story is God's agent. An angel of the Lord is trying to get Balaam's attention, just like you and I might be to our loved ones, and they come against us, right? You invite them to church, and they verbally beat you up. You are acting as an agent of the Lord. They don't even realize that an angel is in the room. You know, there's been angels around you, and some of you haven't realized it either. So the donkey said to Balaam, "Am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you?" And he said, "No." And look at this verse. Ha-ha moment. God opens up Balaam's eyes. Then, so here we have again, the Lord supernaturally giving the donkey a voice and a word and a bold word to open up Balaam's eyes. Right? And now you have the Lord opening up Balaam's eyes. He was physically, he could see, right? But spiritually, something changed in Balaam after this moment. Something changed in this moment. He says he opened up Balaam's eyes and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way. Who was in his way? The angel of the Lord, not the devil. Not the devil. This is the angel of the Lord in his way, standing in his way with his drawn sword in his hand, and he bowed his head and fell flat on his face. Ah, the moment when we all have our eyes open to what God's really been trying to do in our lives. And we bow down to our old ways, and we bow down to the Lord and say, "Lord, not my way, but your way. Now I see what you've been trying to do. I've been seeing that you've been trying to get my attention. You've been trying to help me be debt-free. You've been trying to help me get free of these addictions. You've been trying to help me win the lost. You've been trying to help me get out of this mess. You've been trying to heal me." And he has to open his eyes. In verse 32, "And the angel of the Lord said to him, 'Why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me.'" Ouch. Ouch. You see, God loves you, and he will send people on the way. God loves you. He will put people in your path. You see, this is a good example of a roadblock. This is a good detour sign. You can be a good detour sign for those that are blind. Are you here? As a messenger of God and one who preaches the gospel, you can, if you're sent, go on assignment, if you will, and say, "I've been sent to get in your path. You got to look at me. I've been sent to get in your narrow path to keep you from going too far." Isn't that good? Have you ever thought of yourself like that? Have you ever thought of yourself as a messenger, an angel of the Lord sent by God to help those in their time of need, in their particular path, that they have to pay attention to somebody, that you have a purpose, you have a call in your life, that you're like, "I'm here to help. You can beat me all you want. I'm here to help." Different way of thinking about the gospel, isn't it? I've never preached this message in my entire life like this. Maybe it's because I was up half the night. Because I've never thought that being a roadblock for somebody might just be what they need so they don't go through the detour sign and go crash and burn. Right? You know somebody's living in sin. You know what I just read in Matthew chapter 7, that not everybody who says to me, "Lord, Lord," gets in. You have the ability to say, "Let me help you with a more excellent way. I can help you if you let me. I can help you if you will receive. I can help you get where God wants you to be if you will let me. Behold, I have come out to stand against you, for your way is perverse before me. The donkey saw me and turned aside from me these three times. If she had not turned aside from me, surely I would also have killed you by now and let her live. Ouch. And Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, oh, now he really got his eyes opened. See, there was no change until he'd been caught. Most people will not change from their wicked ways until they realize that they broke the commandments of God, that they broke the ways of God, that they sinned, that they've done something that's not pleasing to the Lord. The Lord's had their number, been in their mess, and then they finally get the aha moment. They go, oh, I've sinned. I need to get right with the Lord. And look what Balaam does. He says, and Balaam said to the angel of the Lord, I have sinned, for I did not know you stood in the way against me. Now, therefore, if it displeases you, I will turn back. Then the angel of the Lord said to Balaam, go with the men, but only the word that I speak to you, that you shall speak. So Balaam went with the princes of Balak. And if you read or you read any of these other chapters, you'll find out that Balaam then had to bless and not curse. He had no choice but to be a blessing, to speak only that which of what the Lord gave him. Not taken away from it, not adding to it, but what the Lord gave him all night. You see, you have an important mission. When you know something doesn't seem right, when you know something doesn't feel right, when you know something or somebody is living contrary to the Word of God, and their actions don't line up with what they're saying. When they say, I'm a Christian, and they won't come to church. When they say, Lord, Lord, and then they won't do anything for the Lord or follow in any footsteps or doing it. You see, there's no fruit. You and I can either be passive and let it go, or we can get in their way. You might have to take a few beatings. I might have to take a couple verbal beatings. I might have to take some bad text messages. I might have to have a few Facebook messages at me. But that don't stop me from getting in your way, because I love you enough for you not to go down there. There's a way that seems right to a man. In the end, it's their death. But I tell you that Jesus is the way, that he's the truth and he's the life. There's a more excellent way that you can go down. And I pray that this message, that I'm bold enough to get in somebody's mess to say, I ain't giving up on you. I'll be like that donkey. You can beat on me and beat on me, but then when we get to strike three, strike one didn't say nothing, right? Strike two didn't say nothing, right? But then strike three, there was a boldness that came on the donkey that says, okay, now I'm going to bow down. Now you look up and you see who you see. The Lord himself has got your number going, are you going to let me dine with you or not? Are you going to give your heart to Jesus Christ? Are you going to surrender your way and go his way? Because you and I, my friends, according to Romans chapter 10, have a great calling. Don't give up when those that don't believe in you or believe in your Jesus. Keep getting in their way. Keep standing for the Lord. Keep taking the hits if you need to. The Lord sees, but don't give up in doing good. Right? They may push your buttons. They may only come once or twice or only on a dinner, but you keep praying. Because I know that God loves them enough to prevent them. You see what I'm saying? The angel of the Lord stood in the way and then positioned himself that they didn't have an out any longer. God loves you enough to get right in your mess and narrow your path so much that you can't turn to the left or the right anymore. You're going to have to go His way, and He's going to point you in the direction. Happened to anybody else but me? You see, God has ways that we sometimes don't think about. But even in the Bible, He can use a donkey to get somebody pointed in the right direction. Amen. God bless you. We'll see you soon here at the river. Remember, Jesus is Lord. Amen.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the river, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.